Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And what you're going to be seeing in this particular broadcast is how the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, let's read the passage together and you will see how you are to conduct yourself or the works that you do in a way that they are good and in a way that they are perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You know, whenever I get ready to travel, I make sure that I have everything I'm going to need for the trip. Now, what I've done in the past is that I used to get a piece of paper and I make a list the night before I have to pack of everything I think I'm going to need on the trip. And then that way, the next day when I'm in the, you know, stress of packing, I can just simply go to that list and one by one make sure that those things are included in my suitcase so that I'm traveling with everything I need. And now with the advent of the smartphone, I have a note in my notes application, and there I write down or have made this sort of master list of everything I need generally when I'm traveling, and I simply open that note and go down the list and stick everything in the suitcase that's on that list, zip it up and go. And you know what? I'm thoroughly furnished for the trip. In other words, everything I need is there. And I didn't have to worry about leaving something at home because I forgot it. I'm thoroughly furnished for the trip, and it doesn't make any difference if we travel to a foreign country and are gone for 2 or 3 weeks preaching, or if we're simply going for an overnight trip involving a hunting or something like that. Whatever I need is on the list. Put it in the suitcase. I've got one list for when I'm hunting, one list for when I'm preaching. You know how it goes. And what I'm trying to tell you is that being thoroughly furnished is a matter of making sure you have everything you need, okay? Now, in the Bible, in this passage that we're looking at here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, "The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, in order to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, you must have everything on the list that's needed. And you see here that it starts with the Holy Scriptures. It starts with the Holy Scriptures. "That from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures." All right? Now, what are those? Well, they're not just something that calls itself Bible. Okay? The Holy Scriptures are God's words. That's very important. God's words. Okay? Now, we could spend days on this particular subject, and honestly, I have a number of points to cover, so I'm not going to draw out everything that I'd want to say concerning the Holy Scriptures. Let me just say this. God promised when the words of God were published in writing that he would preserve his words. He promised that in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. That indicates then today we should be able to have God's words in writing, and I believe that we do. We have a King James Bible here, and that's what you've heard me preach out of on the radio for the last 15 years, and that's what I preach out of whenever I'm anywhere. And I don't just use the King James Bible, I believe it to be the words of God. And there are a number of reasons for that, not the least of which is no one in 400 years of trying has proved one error beyond a reasonable doubt in this book. And the old saying is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So the Holy Scriptures are God's words, and I must admit to you that not everything that calls itself a Bible or even a Holy Bible are God's words. Okay, and that's because there's drastic difference between those various Bibles, particularly the ones that are in English today. And so, without getting into a large discussion about the differences in those Bibles, I believe you've got to have the Holy Scriptures, God's words, if you are going to be truly furnished unto all good works. Because everything that we do that is related to good works derives from those words of God. And you have to know that the devil immediately went to work on the words of God. God gave Adam one commandment. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, when the devil shows up to attack Eve, the first thing he does is he causes her to question those words. Yea, hath God said? So you know if the devil is going to try to mess you up in good works, he is going to try to, first of all, work on your relationship to the Scriptures. And in order to do good works and to be truly furnished unto these good works, you must have the Holy Scriptures. All right? And I believe, I really do, with all my heart, that these words that are here in this King James Bible that you hear being preached right now are the Holy Scriptures. I don't believe that they are the original autographs. I think that God did get in writing in Hebrew and in Syriac and in Greek exactly what he wanted written, and I believe those things were written, but we don't have those anymore. The original autographs are gone, okay? And people that say, well, something like Sinaiticus and Vaticatus must be like the originals because they are closer in date to the originals, would not be true because there are thousands of disagreements between those two manuscripts, and they weren't the ones that people were using. The ones that people used have been destroyed from overuse. God is the one that had to preserve those. Now, I'm always scared when a man goes back and says, I'm going to tell you what it says in the original Hebrew or in the original Greek. I studied those languages, and I studied those languages with the intent of being able to pick out when a man made the change to suit himself rather than made that change to tell you what God said. Okay? I'm not interested in Hebrew and Greek. I'm interested in God's words, and if a man goes back to Hebrew and Greek, the first thing I'm believing when he does that is he's getting ready to make a change that suits what he wants you to believe rather than what God said. Holy Scriptures, mandatory if you are going to be truly furnished unto all good works. Second thing is you got to be saved. Not only do you need the Holy Scriptures, you need salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. May I tell you something? When I grew up as a child, I grew up in church. We were in church every Sunday. And many times I was in church sometime else during the week. And I heard every week a reading from the Old Testament, a reading from the epistles, and a reading from one of the Gospels every week. Yet I wasn't saved. In other words, I had the Holy Scriptures read to me, at least a portion, every week, but I was not wise unto salvation, and I wasn't saved. I'll tell you something else. When I got a little bit older and I had gone to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But when I did that, I did not read the Bible. I actually, in school, took a course in Old Testament survey. I took a course in New Testament survey. I found, actually, my brother found the Bible that we used in that class, and I had some notes penciled in some of the margins. I was learning the right stuff, but I wasn't reading that Bible. I wasn't in that Bible. And here, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And I didn't know them. I wasn't studying them. And as a result, I wasn't truly furnished unto all good works. Now, in September of 1986, I picked up a Bible and began to read it. And I still have that Bible today that I was reading. It's marked up, and the skin oils have caused the paper in that Bible to turn brown, and I've preached out of that Bible and a number of other things. And then I got another Bible in 1988 and began to use that one for about 10 years. And its pages are falling out. There's ink marks, archival ink marks on every page, marginal notes on every page, and many of the pages, because I turned to it and taught out of it and read it so often, have been ripped and taped back together and ripped again, and I can't even use it in the pulpit because pages fall out on the floor. So I got an identical Bible to that, been using it for about 10 years, and now that thing's starting to tear up. You know what? I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And do you understand then that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? In order to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ and in your salvation, you keep reading and studying the words of God. They establish your assurance of salvation, and they keep you believing in the name of the Son of God. If you want to be truly furnished unto all good works, let me tell you something. You have got to know those scriptures, and you've got to know the author of those scriptures, Jesus Christ. You've got to be saved, and that salvation has to be a salvation that is growing by virtue of those same scriptures that brought you to Christ. A growing faith, okay? Truly furnished unto all good works by the scriptures, by salvation. I'll show you something else. By inspiration. By inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, there's been all kinds of discussion and all kinds of writing about inspiration. Inspiration truly is a very simple doctrine. If you're not already conditioned to think of it as something that it's not. People say that inspiration is that God told those who originally wrote the Bible what to write. You know something? I believe they ended up writing God's words. I believe they were directed by the Spirit of God when they did it. Okay? I mean, that's what I believe. The Bible says in 2 Peter that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I really believe he inspired them to preach and to speak. And there's a lot of things that were spoken that weren't written down. But however, I do believe that they wrote down God's words. I don't have any problem with that. But that's not what inspiration is. Not in this text. Because he says all Scripture not was given by inspiration of God, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you think, well, then what is it? What is inspiration? If it's not telling the men what to write down originally, what is it? Well, Job chapter 32, verse 8 tells you exactly what it is. I've often said, and it's not original with me, I was taught this way, and I believe it, that the Bible is the best interpreter of itself. You go look the word up in another section and see how it's used. And I'm not talking about going back to its Greek word and then finding the references where the Greek word shows up. I'm talking about just go find the word in English. That's the language you speak, and see where it's used in the Bible. Job 32:8 is the only other place in the Bible where the word inspiration shows up. Job 32:8 says this, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You see that? There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Listen, if you're going to be truly furnished unto good works, all good works, you've got to know what the Bible says. You have to be able to understand it. And understanding comes from inspiration, and inspiration comes from the Spirit of God. You see, it's the Spirit of God that is the one that guides you into all truth. It's the Spirit of God that brings all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've spoken unto you. It's the Holy Spirit that is the one who gives you an understanding in the Scripture that you're reading. That's inspiration. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You've got to be able to understand it. And you don't understand it by going back to Greek or going back to Hebrew. You understand it by the Holy Spirit giving it to you by inspiration. And basically, there are two things that are needed for you to be able to receive the words of God or understand the words of God by inspiration. They are belief and humility, a believing heart and a humble mind. The trouble with the disciples after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever Jesus began to reveal to them the Scriptures concerning His resurrection and concerning His death and burial, He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." You see that? You have to have a believing heart. You have to believe what you're reading. And when you do, the Holy Spirit then gives you that Scripture by inspiration. And then a humble mind. You see, it's pride that gets men in trouble when it comes to this Bible. It's scholarship that gets men in trouble when it comes to this Bible. Jesus Christ rejoiced one time when He was praying to His Father, and He says, "I thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes." He says to us, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." That's as newborn babes. So the thing you and I need then to be truly furnished unto all good works is we need the Holy Scriptures, of which I believe we have in the King James Bible. We need salvation. If you're not saved, you're not going to be able to do good works that are pleasing to God, not until you're His child. And we need inspiration. That is, we have to understand those Scriptures that we preach and witness with and all that kind of thing. And that comes through belief and humility, at which time the Holy Spirit then through inspiration gives us an understanding in the Scriptures. We're talking about being truly furnished today unto all good works, and it takes the Scriptures, salvation, inspiration. It takes this, doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Now, what is that? Well, doctrine is not something that requires interpretation, or certainly not private interpretation. Two people get in an argument about the Bible. One says to the other one, "Well, that's just your interpretation." No, that's that. You know what that is? When somebody says, "That's just your interpretation," they're saying, "I'm not going to accept what you say. Whether it's true or not, I don't agree with it. And my easy way of telling you I don't agree is I just say, that's your interpretation." But let me tell you something. The Bible is not subject to, well, it's subject to, but it's not true that it is a that it requires private interpretation. Because the Bible says no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. In other words, doctrine then is not about a matter of interpretation. It is a matter of what the Bible says. What does it say? That's doctrine. Or what does it teach? Oftentimes you'll have a person say, "I don't care what it says, I want to know what it means." Well, I'm going to say to you this, listen, it's very important. If I tell you what it means and what I tell you it means is not what it says, then I've just lied to you. So when we say you need to know what it says, that comes from simply reading the Bible and then believing what it says. For instance, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. You may not agree with that, but that's what it says, and that is the doctrine of the Bible. The Bible talks about the rapture. That is a doctrine. You say, "Well, the word doesn't appear." Yeah, but the doctrine does. It talks about a time when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. And it's a resurrection of our bodies to join our spirits and souls of people that are saved. And by that rapture, we escape a lot of the trouble this earth goes through right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. The truth of the matter is there are all kinds of philosophies and thoughts about the rapture. Some say it's mid-trib, some say it's post-tribulation, some say it's pre-wrath rapture, some say there's no rapture, some say it's post-tribulation. I mean, there's all kinds of thoughts on that. May I tell you something? When it takes place, if you didn't know the doctrine of the Bible beforehand, you're going to know it afterhand, because one of those is going to be right, all the rest of them are wrong. And a thorough understanding and reading of the Scripture, you're going to find that the doctrine of the Bible is a pre-tribulation rapture. The doctrine of the Bible regarding anything you want to know is what it says. The doctrine of the Bible is creation. There is no doctrine in the Bible about theistic evolution. That is the private interpretation of men who want to compromise with evolutionary scientists. And on it goes. Listen, what I'm saying is, in order for you to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, you've got to have doctrine. And you know something? They're not people that are feeding heavily on doctrine today. They're feeding mainly on spiritual applications of the Bible. And that's not a good thing. You need more than that. Then the other thing you need is you need reproof. If you want to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, you need reproof, because the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, what is reproof? Reproof is to speak in disapproval. But it's mild, because it's without harshness. It's kindly urging you to make a change. Rebuke, on the other hand, is much sharper than reproof. It is more severe disapproval, and it's meant to check you in something you're doing and make you stop it. Generally, rebuke is something that requires a preacher. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." But you need reproof. Why? Because the Bible says the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You need something to show God's disapproval of what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, there's not much of that. That's negative, and you don't hear much of that in preaching today. Reproof. But if you want to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then just like a good coach, you need somebody to put you in check. You need somebody to reprove you and instruct you on a better way of life. And the Scripture will do that for you. God will do that, and the preacher will do that if he's not afraid of you. You know, when your coach is coaching you and you're doing something the wrong way and he jumps you out about the thing and you start doing it better, you're happy with the result. You may be embarrassed in front of all of your friends and teammates for a period of time, but you're happy with the result. And so are they. So you need reproof. And I'll tell you something else you need. You need correction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You know what correction is? A correction is a change that corrects a mistake. You go from doing something wrong to doing it right. Correction removes errors from things. Well, the problem with that is then somebody has to point out that what you're doing is wrong and show you the right way to do it. And again, it's somewhat similar to reproof in that it has a negative side. It's like turning in a piece of paper to your teacher and then finding it with a bit red X on it, big enough so that the people in the desks around you see that you got a big old red X on your paper. And for some strange reason these days, nobody wants to offend little children by putting big red X's on them anymore, and they don't want to offend in the pulpit by correcting people when they're wrong. And you're not finding many preachers that want to say to somebody, listen, you are wrong, and you need to make this right. But the Bible will, and if you want to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then you have to be submitted to and subjected to and surrendered to correction by the words of God, whether that correction comes from reading the words or whether it comes from hearing them preached. And then finally, if you want to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then you need, in addition to these other things, instruction in righteousness. The problem with the Jews in Romans chapter 10 verse 3 is they were ignorant of God's righteousness. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 28 talks about the way of righteousness. Well, instruction in righteousness is you need somebody to teach you how to walk in the way of righteousness, and the Scripture will do that. I've told you before, and we'll mention it again, we're not so interested in you doing right as we are in you yielding to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you when you get saved, and then allowing that righteousness to work itself out in you so that then you are doing right. Well, you know something? You need instruction in that. And that comes from the words of God. That comes from the Scriptures. And when you learn to hear that instruction and learn to follow that instruction, then righteousness is going to be apparent in your life. Now, with those seven things, you know what's going to happen? You are going to be producing good works in your life. You're going to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and those works are going to be pleasing to God, and those works are going to be beneficial to others. So let's review quickly. The purpose that Paul wrote 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 15 to 17 to Timothy is he wanted Timothy to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and he wanted Timothy to help other men and women to become thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In order to do that, you need seven things. You need the Holy Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you something. Not everything that calls itself a Holy Bible is a Holy Scripture. You need the Holy Scriptures. You need salvation. It doesn't do you any good to stand in a pulpit as a lost man, preach the Word of God. It's not going to be beneficial to others. You need salvation. And then you need inspiration. That is, you have to understand what you're reading, and that inspiration comes from the Spirit of God. He's the one that allows you to understand what you're reading. You need doctrine. You need a doctrine, not interpretation. You need to know what the Bible says well enough to be able to live by what the Bible says. You need reproof. You need to be able to stand there and have God harshly or mildly disapprove of your way of life so that it will change. You need correction. You got to be able to stand there when the Bible points out that what you're doing is wrong so you can start doing it right. And you need instruction in righteousness so that you are walking in the way of righteousness. When you have those seven things, then you will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And those works will be pleasing to God, and they will be beneficial to others.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.